There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. This kind of stuff is supposed to happen in October, right? The bullish season for the market is November through, you could argue, March or so, April. Not a good day on Wall Street so far. It's, you know, the volatile nature. We had one of these a couple weeks ago, and then there was some recovery. My question back then was, it a, like many others had talked about, was it a, what they call a dead cat bounce, where the market drops but comes back up, but it's not truly back up? We'll see, because today, akin to, for traders out there, akin to, if you ever done one of those climbing walls, you ever done one of those, or like some of the PT training military folks go through with the wall, you got to climb over and get over. So you work, let's say you worked for, you know, 10 minutes to climb to the top of this wall, and right there before you get to the top of the wall, you slide down to the bottom, and you got to start over again. It's kind of what it looks like for the market today. As of right now, stock market gains for 2018 for the entirety of the year have vanished, as the Dow Industrials plummet nearly 500 points today. Now, of course, individual stocks may vary, but I'll tell you this, a bad enough day. Dalton, I did a little scan of some of the stuff I own, and then some of the marijuana ETFs out there. The marijuana stocks are suffering. It is bad enough in the market right now. The weed stocks have suffered in this correction or trend, depends on how you see it out there today. The weed stocks have suffered. All right, so I mean, this is, you know, it's serious when they're hedging around the marijuana stocks. What?
I have a question. I don't know if you have your buy now button to smash right now, but when you're talking weed stocks, now the normal thought process for buying and selling stocks is buy low, sell high. But when you're dealing with the marijuana enterprises, you would buy high and sell high, right?
You'd think people that if you were a user of the product, you would buy high and sell high and hold high.
Yes, high all the time.
As for a guy like me that's not a consumer, I'm just holding. I'm holding low right now, but yeah, looking at through individual marijuana stocks, also these ETFs out there where they've gathered these funds, where they've gathered together some marijuana stocks, and they're following the rest of the market. They're not really, tech has brought down. It's really been tech. And then, by the way, the good news is when this happens, crude oil is dropping. I think went below $55 a barrel earlier. But yeah, you have a pretty significant drop here in tech stocks. And maybe because the tech people buy the legal weed out on the West Coast, or something, the weed stocks are down.
Maybe that's it.
So you're saying
the tech bubble for a long time.
Buy high
and sell
high,
but only when you're dealing with marijuana stocks.
And hold high.
That's right.
Yeah, here you go. Here's what's happened. And I will say, I will caution you, though, to watch what has happened so far in this year. Now, this may be it. This is, I don't know if it's sort of a bull market or just a correction inside. I mean, start of a bear market or a correction inside this bull market. But we have watched a lot of volatility this year. We've watched day. It seems like everybody's selling everything and jumping off the bridge, and then the next day people are back to buying. And to a neophyte like me, it makes me think, well, I'm outside. I don't understand it. It's one of the reasons I pulled so much out of equities. But looking at this right now, and I don't know. Can it bounce back from this? Is it a dead cat bounce again, or are we on the way? You have a bunch of pointy heads saying expect no more than single digit growth in the new year. Goldman Sachs says cash will be king when the stock market and economy skid. So you got cash, hold on to it. That would make sense already because interest rates are going up. And, you know, obviously you'll get more for holding your money. People are asking, will there be a Santa Claus rally? Because this time of year, as bad as October is, October traditionally is a bad month. If you're going to have a crash, you're going to have an issue, you have it in October quite often, maybe even to early November. But by the time you get to Thanksgiving, this starts off kind of a... If people are going to buy, they buy from here mm-hmm. through the spring.
This time of year really shows, I guess, the true spending power spending ability of Americans. Would that be true?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and one of the things they talked about, it's as simple as, like, all this stuff is way above me. You know, I watch the the talkers here and the people that know what's going on Wall Street, and I try to learn as best I can. But what I do know is what regular people issues are. And one of them they were talking about for Apple is saturation in the market. I've wondered about this forever. Is something as simple as casinos on the Mississippi Gulf Coast? I always said there would be the last one built that would fail, mm-hmm. right? There's one too many. That's a question here with Apple. They're saying that even as they innovate, they're innovating so quickly. So, I mean, there's not enough people that will pay the money year to year to get a new Apple product. And eventually, all the people, now, understand, I don't mean all the people, but all the people that want an Apple product right then, they've already got one.
And even though the technology is getting better so quickly because of their competition with Samsung and some of these other companies, instead of waiting a year in between releases where the next phone is completely different, a lot better than the past phone, each kind of new...
But you're going to be able to... Unless that's your one hobby, and yeah, there are people, you see the lines, people line up, and you know, but... If you just got the newest fandangled iPhone last year, how ready are you to go back and shell out $1,000 plus $1,200 the next year for the next one?
Yeah, now I used to be really excited about new iPhones and things right. of that nature, but now I'm the guy who buys one or two models behind the newest one. It seems like I'm not the only American okay. doing that.
Is that, yeah, that's showing up here. I mean, as Apple, one of those companies, is leading the downturn today out there. So, yeah, market is down. Dow right now, but it's a little bit of improvement. It was down over 500 earlier. It's down 446.52. S&P down 38.55. Oil down 330 to 53.90. So, way under $55 a barrel now. So, whenever they decide to give us that nice little kiss at the gas pump, we'll have lower gas prices whenever that gets around to happening, maybe by Christmas.
Now, this is probably a stupid question, but in this room, there are no stupid questions.
That's right.
So I'll send it out
just
there.
Just stupid people.
Could the market be looking at this whole Saudi Arabia thing, and could the price of oil maybe move around based on what we see over the next few weeks?
Yeah, but then you have that's a troubling thought, that if you would have, you know, oil, if the market drops, oil prices are going down because you have less economic growth, less products going over the road, all the things that drive consumption, less people feeling good about going over the hill and through the woods to grandma's house. But if at the same time we have some fracas with the Saudis, and that may be one of the many reasons President Trump is doing this tap dance with the Saudi crown prince dirtbag, because if the Saudis and their control of OPEC start slowing, which they already said they were going to slow production in 2019, if they slow production of crude oil, then you could have a situation where the market's down, but the oil prices increase, and that could be a pickle. But right now, they're all down. Even, well, I don't even understand this, precious metals are down. Usually they go the other way, but maybe that means the dollar is strengthening out there, so we'll look at some of those rates. Listen, we're not going to spend the whole time on talking financial issues, but as we get started on this Tuesday, it is not looking good for a second half of November kind of scenario. We will watch it. Maybe it is maybe just a correction. Maybe it's one and done. If people come back in and buy those bargains in the market, we'll talk about that as we go throughout the next 2 hours. Hey, when we come back, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, is going to join us. Remember this morning we talked about Matt Hart out at the Attorney General's office? He's going to explain the history of Matt Hart and why this is something you might need to pay attention to. We do that next right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Even the weed stocks are down.
Unbelievable.
Buy high, sell hot, right?
That's right. Okay.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And as always, good to talk to Todd Stacy with Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And so much to talk about right here at home in the state of Alabama. We'll get started here with one of the names. If we've been watching, unfortunately, if you've been watching the interactions of the judicial branch along with the executive branch and the legislative branch over the last, 5 years or so, 6 years in the state of Alabama, Matt Hart's name came up quite a bit, Todd, if it had to do with former Governor Bentley or former Speaker Hubbard, right?
That's right. Yeah, Matt Hart is has been the lead prosecutor in the Special Prosecutions Division in the Attorney General's office. That was for the last 7 years. So when Luther Strange won that election in 2010, he got Matt Hart. He was a prosecutor from Birmingham, had been involved in the Federal Prosecutions Office up there. So he brought Matt Hart in to kind of be his lead guy on public corruption, and he did a lot. He has history prosecuting gambling. He has history prosecuting some of the 2-year scandal, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of corruption in the Alabama 2-year system. The chancellor went to jail. Some lawmakers went to jail. It was a mess. He was a big player in that. Again, the Larry Lankford case up in Birmingham. And so Luther Strange came to the Attorney General's office and tapped Matt Hart to lead his special prosecutions unit. He did that for the last 7 years and kept going. I mean, he convicted House Speaker Mike Hubbard. That was his big deal. He had a couple other significant prosecutions. But, you know, in the Attorney General's office, he's also built a reputation for kind of cutting corners ethically. And in fact, in the Hubbard trial, there were a lot of cases of where people thought he went too far as a prosecutor, across the line as far as ethically what a prosecutor can do. Now that is all stood and that's all over with, but that reputation has continued. And so it wasn't really that surprising this week when he resigned finally after, post-election resignations kind of happened. And Steve Marshall, the Attorney General, accepted that resignation yesterday.
Okay, so you talk about those cutting corners, and it's funny the way we are at least in punditry media in the state. You have some outlets hailing Matt Hart. Every step he took was gilded in gold, and he's what you call corruption means he's you call cutting corners as just being a tough-nosed prosecutor. Other people said he's out on a warpath. Back to the process, he was on a warpath against Hubbard. He's on a warpath against Bentley. He's on a warpath, the reality is what? When you say cut corners, I mean things that are unethical or help us understand.
Yeah, well, I wasn't around for the Hubbard trial, to be clear, but there were plenty of reports of him intimidating witnesses. In fact, there was one instance where he basically interviewed a witness on the stand about how he conducted an interrogation. That's how bad it got. And so in fact, one of the key witnesses sort of, turned sides and ended up turning against the prosecution. So when I say cut corners, yeah, it's a matter of him being aggressive and maybe using some tactics that are a little too aggressive in terms of going after who he wants. And you're exactly right. Hart has been, when he gets it in his mind that somebody has broken the law or somebody is at fault, then that becomes his target, and that becomes that's just his reputation. And while that's good in terms of the movies and drama and what's really entertaining, prosecutors are supposed to follow the facts. They're supposed to follow the law, follow the facts, not just their own noses in terms of what's right and what's wrong. So, and I'm not disputing the Hubbard verdict or anything like that. Again, I wasn't around for it. I'm just saying that around that trial and others, he has built a reputation for being overly aggressive and maybe going too far in some cases. But probably even more than that, and obviously Steve Marshall wasn't Attorney General back then anyway. So that I don't think this has anything to do with Mike Hubbard or anything like that. I think what this has more to do with is over the last 2 years, 20 months to 2 years, there have been there have been so many leaks out of the Attorney General's office. I called it, in today's digest, I called it a leaky cauldron, if you will, for Harry Potter fans.
Right, because I want to point out, people who have not seen, maybe people have never seen a picture of Matt Hart. He's a big dude, kind of has a Hagrid look to him, right?
That's right. Yeah. If you're a fan of the Harry Potter movies, you know, Hagrid is the big giant guy, the lovable giant. And yeah, there's definitely a resemblance. Matt Hart, he's got to be 6'7", or you know, he's huge, big guy. Big bushy beard, and so he does have a resemblance. So I said, of course, Hagrid's a nice guy and all that.
Right, but this is a leaky cauldron.
Hart is not a nice guy. So this is a leak. Yeah, his office over the last 20 months or so has experienced leak after leak. And so what happens is, you know, he clearly did not agree with Steve Marshall getting appointed Attorney General. He clearly favored either himself or Alice Martin. Well, so since then, there has just been so many leaks going to the likes of AL.com and Alabama Political Reporter, some of his favorite reporters, these guys that kind of, as you said, sort of laud him as the biggest, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, the most, you know, truth, justice in the American way. Well, I would too if you're giving me inside information, you're giving me leaks. You know, that's how it works. So, you know, but every time they worked to undermine Steve Marshall, and the press was pretty brutal on him in this past election. So I wasn't really surprised to see, you know, after this election, them part ways.
Yeah, and talk about that. So, I mean, this is, once again, as people look at, we'll cycle back around to Jeff Sessions here in a little bit, but the timing of things, you know, on a federal level, there it is, the day after the midterm elections, then Jeff Sessions out at DOJ, and then it's not the day after, but here you have a situation where if Matt Hart was holding on for a you know, change of boss, he realizes that's not happening after the midterm election, that Marshall's there for a term. I guess, is it his idea to get out, or he just knew that Marshall might boot him? I mean, what do you think? Do you hear any scuttlebutt on that?
Well, probably a little bit of both. I mean, so yeah, it's, and this is all speculation.
Sure.
We aren't sitting there in the offices, but I've got lots of sources that are. And so it was pretty clear that Matt Hart would have preferred Alice Martin to be the next Attorney General. Well, she didn't make it into the runoff, and so he kind of took a bet there. You know, he's a powerful guy. He's a very well-known person, a big personality, kind of a celebrity as far as the press goes. So, you know, he was leaking information, or his office was at least, you know, that was damaging to Marshall and that undermined him. I remember really back when I was getting started with Alabama Daily News during the legislative session, I was shocked to see all the leaks coming out of the Attorney General's office. And I had some friends there, some sources there. I would just ask them, what is going on? Like, how are y'all tolerating this, how leaky this ship is? It's incredible. But it's pretty clear what was going on was, you know, he had chosen his candidate and wanted to sort of steer things in that direction. Well, it didn't go in that direction. Marshall won convincingly. He beat Troy King, he just beat Joe Siegelman. And so, yeah, I think you could easily argue that Matt Hart, this aggressive prosecutor, made a bet on somebody else in the election, and that person didn't win. And so he resigned, whether that's please give me your resignation, or whether he resigned knowing that, yeah, he'd probably be shown the door anyway. I don't know, but I guess it doesn't matter. The writing was on the wall, and his time was probably, you know, limited.
Well, you're laying out a what would have been an adversarial situation between the boss and subordinate, right?
That's right. That's right. And so, you're going to read a lot about why this was, an unjust move on Steve Marshall's part, or why it was wrong, or why you're allowing corruption to run rampant. And I just don't think that's fair at all. First of all, Steve Marshall is duly elected by the voters. He was attacked all throughout the, you know, both elections, the primary and the general, and voters stuck with him. So he deserves a chance to prove himself, as Attorney General. But more than that, and I kind of wrote about this in today's digest, we don't need this drama and this celebrity out of, you know, staff prosecutors. This is a very important position. The person that you know leads the special prosecutions division of the Attorney General's office, very important. But you're not a celebrity. You're not an elected official, you know.
Right.
And so I think maybe turning down the rhetoric a little bit, turning down the celebrity is a good thing. So we learned today that Clark Morris, has been appointed to that job. They just sent a press release out a minute ago. She is from the Middle District of Alabama. She's a prosecutor in the Middle District of Alabama. That's here in Montgomery. They speak very well of her in the Department of Justice. So that's the next step here. Maybe that'll be a good thing.
When we come back from the break, I want to talk more about that. Our guest, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk more about how to get his email in your inbox each morning, more about what's going on with Matt Hart. Also, we'll talk about Sessions and Governor Ivey. Maybe I could even get some response about high-stepping turkeys. We'll do that when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here as we count down the days till Thanksgiving. Maybe that's what's happening on Wall Street. Maybe they're just trying to divest themselves of stocks and have a little extra spending money there to go buy a turkey or two. Maybe something like that. I don't know. Continue our conversation about a lot of stuff going on right here at home in the state of Alabama with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, the website. And Todd, as always, very easy for folks to get your newsletter, your email in their inbox each morning.
That's right. Every morning I send out an email, and it basically works like a newspaper. I've got the day's top five stories, whether that's from Washington, D.C., as it affects the Alabama congressional delegation, or just a big national story, or if it's from here in Montgomery. I cover state politics, whether it's in the state capital of Montgomery or it's coming from Washington, D.C. And so I've got the top five stories along with news briefs from around the country and your front pages from around the state, all that in your inbox. And it's really easy to sign up. You just go right to the website, aldailynews.com. There's a subscribe button. Just push it in your email address and I'll be in your inbox every day. It's free. All I ask is that you give me some feedback on, you know, what do you think about the news? What are you seeing out there and seeing in your neck of the woods? And I always appreciate feedback. That's why I appreciate you, Sean.
Well, I appreciate it. And what I was telling folks before, no joke here, that your email each morning is important enough that it's refresh worthy. You know, when you go back and hit your refresh button on your email waiting for something to come in, y'all, it's that good. So it's refresh worthy to get Todd's email. I want y'all to get that. All right. You mentioned before we went to the break, Clark Morris, and I got that press release too from the AG's office. A lady, a woman, Clark Morris, the current number two, you say, here at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Montgomery, is the new special prosecutor. No, that's not the term. What is it?
Will lead the special prosecution division.
Okay. So basically the corruption division, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you were telling me a little bit before we went to the break, but what do we know about her?
Well, you know, when this all happened yesterday, I had some sources tell me, you know, a little bit. Well, first of all, that she was going to be announced. They hadn't announced her yet. So, but it was strong enough where I thought it was worthy of inclusion. It was, you know, solid enough, and that turned out to be true because we just got this press release. And those sources described her as no drama, quote unquote, no drama.
Okay.
And as a smart career prosecutor. So that those were the two things that I heard her described as, and that would be in. I guess in contrast to Matt Hart, you know, there was a lot of drama surrounding Matt Hart. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, take it as you will. I guess what my sources were saying were that, you know, she brings the same seriousness to the job as far as wanting to get things done and be tough on criminals, but does not bring the celebrity status, nor does she want to be a celebrity. And that's what I was mentioning in the Daily News today, that maybe that's a good thing for the office. Maybe a little less celebrity is a good thing for the office. Who knows? Maybe good, maybe bad, but she at least deserves a chance to do the job.
You mentioned, too, that A.G. Marshall, the different attacks he had from the primary to the general, a lot of groups and disparate groups, too, from the Republican side to, Roy Moore's son coming out and, siding with Siegelman and all that. A lot of people against the A.G. Now, I know the A.G. from having him on the show and talking to him. I don't have a personal, I've known him for a while, but don't have a personal relationship with him. But it seems like there were a lot of people, for lack of a better term, out to get him. And I'm trying to understand why. Is it a threat to any? Can you see a threat to any special interest out there that the AG might be?
Well, one funny thing about the Roy Moore situation, and I know you and I talked about that a while back. I mean, that was just baffling. On many fronts, but I just read the other day, and I need to do a write-up about this, about the case where years ago his son had I believe it was a DUI case, some kind of traffic case, where
he's been in trouble a couple times.
Everybody knows about him, and so, but it was up there in his region as a district attorney. This is before he was attorney general. So it was in his jurisdiction as attorney general, and Marshall basically refused to let him off, refused to reduce the sentence or whatever, whatever the crime was. And okay. So the apparently the Moores have had a little bit of a beef with Marshall ever since he didn't, kind of cut him a break a long time ago.
Hmm.
So that turns out that kind of makes sense. But you're right. I mean, it was interesting to see during the election. I mean, first of all, when you're the incumbent, of course they're going to come attack you. We saw the same thing with Kay Ivey. They brought in everything but the kitchen sink to attack her. They did the same thing with Steve Marshall. In some ways, it was a lot worse with Marshall. I mean, because you had the tragedy with his wife. And, he had some blogs throughout the state that really went too far in trying to basically accuse him of that.
Yep.
Accuse him of basically, having a role to play in killing his wife. I mean, that is awful stuff. Truly, truly low things to say. But, I mean, it sort of proliferated out there. I don't know. I don't really have a way to say why would somebody do that. What I do know is that the political players involved in the AG's race and then really in this cycle right now, they had a stake in that race and they didn't win. And anytime you don't win, there's a tendency to instead of embracing the nominee and moving on, to go and undermine him and attack him and all that kind of thing. I think it's easy to see that from at least one of his opponents from the primary. And I just told you about the Roy Moore situation. Clearly there was a family dispute going back a little ways. And then Troy King, when he finally lost in the primary runoff, Troy King lost, he refused to endorse him too. So, not a lot of love lost in that primary. I mean, I think Chess Bedsoe, is from down there in Mobile. Mm-hmm. I think he was very quickly endorsed Marshall and got on board and all that kind of thing. But the other candidates, they didn't do it. Alice Martin and Troy King, they weren't satisfied with a Marshall win. So and I wouldn't say it's necessarily them, but a lot of their allies and people that surround them, had a lot at stake in that election, and so they clearly weren't done with Marshall.
That's for sure. If you're just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News, we got a minute or so here. We'll go to break, but I do want to two more subjects I got to get through. Number one, speaking of gas prices, as we were earlier, we'll get to discussion of the gas tax for this session, and also right here at home, South Baldwin County, the bridge. And I think it's important we talked about it. I talked about it with Jeff Poore yesterday on the show. For people down here that don't get up to Birmingham or Huntsville, maybe it's playing in Montgomery. I don't know. show. But the ads, I think people will be surprised at the ads that are being played, talking about this bridge project down there, just for the fancy, you know, fancy South Baldwin people, right? They're just spending spending money from elsewhere in the state just to be able to drink their Mai Tais and you know, fan themselves in the sun or something like that. So this, I mean, this question about another bridge down at Orange Beach Gulf Shores, this is getting statewide attention.
It is, and you're right. Listening to some of the rhetoric and some of the ads, you'd think there was a bunch of crooks down there. But, you know, we ran the op-ed from the Mayor Kennan from Orange Beach today, and he makes a lot of sense. And when you think about just the access to that island and how much the island has grown, I mean, I really can't argue with it. But it's an interesting topic.
Yeah, and it's a cat. I mean, you can go no further than the study of the money from the BP settlement, which we could talk about for days. But the reason the state was due anything from the BP settlement was the loss of sales tax revenue, not in Lauderdale County, not in Marshall County. I don't care what excuses they make. Not even in Jefferson or Shelby County or Montgomery or Etowah County. It was a loss in revenue in Mobile and Baldwin County, and Baldwin County being the biggest of the two.
Yeah, and
cash cow for the state.
And from what I understand, there's some people that are still pretty upset about how that BP money was allocated.
I'm one of them. Yeah.
So yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay, coming right back. Talk more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And yeah, watching the markets right now too. It is not good. Dow back. Yeah, look at it. Yep, there it is. No, it's moving around. Okay, it was down 500 plus, now back to just being down 475. Oil price, barrel 53.21. When do you think when does that show up at the gas pump? It's funny how when it goes up, how quickly it comes up and how sticky it is coming down, isn't it? Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And yeah, what a great clearinghouse for the stories you need to check out any given weekday morning. One of them we're talking about here, I just want to wrap up this one, even though it's a story we've been talking about down here for a while. I just want people here in Mobile and Baldwin County, Southwest Alabama, to understand the rest of the state is looking at this question about the bridge in Gulf Shores. I mean, right? It's not our own thing. They're bringing attention to it elsewhere.
That's right. In fact, we ran a story about it yesterday that was, you know, from the Associated Press. That's distributed not just statewide, but nationally if they want to pick it up. We picked it up, and it was just about the town meeting they had down there a few days ago about where the public was giving feedback about the different bridge proposals. You know, there are two bridge proposals on the table. And so the mayors of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores and I think some state, you know, Department of Transportation officials were down there just taking public feedback. A lot of it was positive, and of course you had some of it negative. But we ran the story, and, you know, it generated some interest. So today, the mayor of Orange Beach, Tony Kennan, asked to write an op-ed, to contribute an op-ed to the Alabama Daily News, just sort of explaining for my readership that is, you know, a lot, like you said, in Montgomery and Birmingham and Huntsville, and in Washington, D.C., frankly, you know, why they wanted bridges, he feels like they need bridges. So I thought it was pretty well stated, you know, talking about 100,000 day trippers in the month of July, but it's every day. He described it, I mean, this is apropos for the week we're in, he described it as, you know, we have the Iron Bowl every day in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, and that's a lot of traffic, and trying to get those people on the island and off the island is very difficult, and especially just with two bridges. So it made a lot of sense. And so you go read it, you know, take it from what you will. I'm open to running the other side. There have been some commercials that have aired on the radio and on television, I think, calling it a bridge to nowhere, saying it's too much of an expense. I think that's the toll bridge folks running that, saying, hey, we we'd rather keep our traffic on the toll bridge. Thank you very much. So, you know, take that as you will. But I thought it was a well-reasoned opinion piece. And look, they made the decision probably 15 or 20 years ago that they were going high volume in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, right? It was not going to be a little hamlet anymore.
Right.
And if there are islands just like that all around the country where all you have is a little tiny access road, and they like it that way. They keep it that way so that nobody comes. So it's very limited. Well, they decided against that. We have some of the highest rise condos you'll find anywhere down there on the island. And so they went high volume with residents and with vacation homes. And so it sounds like you need high volume with traffic, too.
There it is. And I think we'll be talking about this going forward. In our last couple minutes, though, I do want to talk about a subject we've talked about a few times already. I have a feeling we'll talk about a whole bunch coming up in about, 3 months when session gets started and they start talking gas tax.
That's right. I found it very interesting. In fact, I was... I was working on a story about the gas tax, and there goes Mike Kaysen to get right in front of me. He's a great reporter, reportsforale.com, and you know, I'm going down my list of things to include in the news, and there it is. Man, he's already got the story. So he contacted House Speaker Mac McCutcheon. He's from Huntsville. Contacted
Del Marsh.
Pro Tem, yeah. Del Marsh. Yep. He's from the Anniston area. He leads the Senate. And he contacted Governor Ivey. Now, these are the three people. You know, you need the Speaker and you need the Pro Tem to move legislation, and you need the Governor to sign legislation. So they're the three people that really make it happen. And he contacted them all just to ask what's their top priority for the legislative session. And they each said raising revenue to build infrastructure, to build and repair roads and bridges. Of course, that includes the port. And it's not just roads and bridges. It's the port. It's railroads and things, but the fact that all three of those individuals made it their top priority is a pretty big deal. And I've been hearing the same kind of feedback. I'm more interested in getting into the details because that's the one thing we don't have yet. We don't know. We know that the gas tax is going up. It would be the first time in 26 years we've raised it. That's a long time, and a lot has happened since then. Cars have gotten a lot more efficient. We have more demand on our roads and less revenue, and that's a losing bet. So we've got to do something. But how much the stomach can public and I'm sorry, how much the public can stomach is a big question. Will it be 9 cents? Will it be 10 cents? Will they go big and have a 20 cent increase?
Right.
Because a lot of states surrounding us are having a lot more than that. So we'll see.
Yeah, do you do it just to get you through till tomorrow, or do you do something that keeps this right going forward 5 years, 10 years, or 15? And the other part of this, we just have a minute left here, but where I see a lot of the contention coming, and I know you do, is this split, not just of whether we're going to do a gas tax, but how that revenue is allocated. It is going to be rural versus urban, right? Suburban versus country.
That's right, and that's why it didn't pass last time. So, you know, 2 years ago, they had a bill on the floor, and I mean, all the groups were okay with it, and everybody, you know, all the big people had signed on. But when it came down to the final vote, your lawmakers from the cities and the counties didn't agree, and that's because the cities and the counties didn't agree. So, you've always got a rural versus suburban thing. You've got a county versus city, you know, as far as the municipalities go. That's a big deal. Those details are, you know, matter a great deal. And so, you know, because these cities, they call up their lawmaker and say, hey, you got to stick with us. And they're going to 9 times out of 10. They've had 2 years to iron all those differences out. And so I'd like to think that they could have by now. But those issues will remain. And of course, there'll be somebody that just doesn't want any taxes at all.
Yes.
And, you know, there are a few, the Forestry Commission is one of those that says, hey, no taxes whatsoever, you know, no every time. But most others understand that we've got to do something. We do have an infrastructure problem.
There it is. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter. And as always, man, I appreciate the conversation. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll talk soon.
Same to you, Sean. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile, right here on FM Talk 106.5. Get the latest on the markets in just a second.